Ever think about how a family land deal could go so wrong that it like ends up in the Supreme Court?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's exactly what we're diving into today.
Buckle up.
This is Jackson v. Seymour, a case from 1952 that'll make you think twice about those handshake agreements, even with your own family.
Yeah, what's so interesting here is this case isn't just some, you know, dusty old legal precedent. It's really a story about family and trust and just where the law kind of steps in when it comes to fairness.
All right, so set the scene for us. Who are the main characters in this legal drama?
Okay, so picture this. You've got Lucy Jackson, a widow who's fallen on hard times, you know, financially.
Okay.
And her brother, Benjamin Seymour, a successful farmer and businessman.
Okay, so we've got that classic sibling dynamic. One is struggling, the other one's doing pretty well. What could go wrong?
Well, Lucy decides to sell Benjamin 31 acres of land.
Sounds simple enough.
Yeah, except she sells it for a measly $275.
$275. Mm-hmm. Even back then, that seems pretty low. Was there something wrong with the land?
Well, here's the kicker. Neither of them knew at the time that this land was sitting on a gold mine.
A gold mine.
Of timber.
Oh, boy, timber.
We're talking valuable timber worth way more than $275.
Oh, so see where this is going. So Benjamin gets the land, discovers all this timber, and
he sells it immediately, basically, for a whopping $2,300.
That's more than 8 times what he paid Lucy.
Yeah.
Oh, she was not happy about that.
Not at all. She sues him for fraud and mistake.
Fraud.
And rightfully so. You know, she felt cheated.
Yeah, I would too. So what happened at trial? Did the court side with Lucy?
So initially, no. The trial court actually dismissed her claims. They said there wasn't enough evidence to prove that Benjamin intentionally tricked her, which is kind of a key element for a traditional fraud claim.
Hold on. So even though he made this huge profit from something that he knew she didn't know about, he wasn't considered fraudulent.
Right. And that's where the Virginia Supreme Court steps in. They introduced this idea of constructive fraud. This is where it gets interesting.
Okay. I am all ears. What is constructive fraud?
Oh.
And how did it change things for Lucy?
So essentially, constructive fraud, you don't have to prove the intent to deceive.
Okay.
It's about this breach of duty, especially in a relationship where trust is just, you know, kind of built in, like family members.
So even if there's no smoking gun, no proof that someone set out to like cheat their family member, the court can still find them liable. If it just seems really unfair.
Exactly. And the court found a couple things about this deal that just didn't seem right.
Okay, like what? Give me the details.
So first, that price difference, it was massive. $275 versus the actual value of the land, you know, including the timber, which was somewhere between $3,200 and $5,000. That's just shockingly low.
Yeah, you're telling me. That would raise eyebrows in any deal, let alone between siblings.
For sure. And then there's Benjamin's background. Remember, he was a successful businessman. So the court was basically saying, look, this guy, he knows how to make a deal.
Right.
He should have been more careful about figuring out what that land was really worth.
Yeah. It seems like he knew his sister was in a tough spot and he got this steal of a deal. Did the court think that maybe he suspected that timber was there all along?
Well, they definitely brought up that point. The fact that he sold that timber so fast after buying it from Lucy made it seem, yeah, a little suspicious.
Okay, so the Supreme Court steps in. They see this constructive fraud thing. What happens to Benjamin? Do they throw the book at him?
Not really. They decided to undo the whole deal. Basically hit rewind. Lucy got the land back, plus the value of the timber and like any rent Benjamin had collected while he owned it.
Whoa. So she basically won the lottery thanks to her brother's mistake.
Yeah, well, not a complete lottery. The court did make her give back the original $275 to Benjamin.
Okay.
Plus any property taxes he had paid, you know.
Ah, so they tried to make it as fair as possible for both sides.
Exactly.
Even though Benjamin clearly took advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't mean to.
Right. The goal of equity in these cases isn't to punish. It's just to try to, you know, make things right.
Yeah. This whole concept of constructive fraud is interesting. It feels like a powerful tool for the courts to step in and protect people who might be getting taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Especially in these family deals where emotions run high and, you know, it can cloud people's judgment.
Absolutely. And Jackson v. Seymour really became a landmark case for that reason.
Okay.
You know, it set a precedent that courts are going to look at deals between family members much closer just because of the inherent trust that's involved.
That makes sense. If you can't trust your own family, then who can you trust, right?
Right.
But seriously, though.
Yeah.
It seems like this case is sending a clear message.
Yeah.
Any hint of unfairness, mm-hmm. especially when one person has more power than the other,
right.
the courts might just step in and undo the whole thing.
That's right. And it's not even about like blatant deception or anything. Like yeah. you saw with Benjamin, maybe not properly assessing the land's value.
Mm.
Even that can be enough.
So for all the lawyers and law students out there listening, mm. what are the biggest takeaways from Jackson v. Seymour? What can we learn from Benjamin's, you know, mistakes here?
One of the biggest things is documentation.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to figuring out how much something's worth, you know, valuing property.
Right.
If Benjamin had just gotten a proper appraisal before buying the land from Lucy, it would have at least shown that he was acting in good faith.
Okay.
That he wasn't trying to lowball her or anything.
So a paper trail to prove fairness, basically.
Right.
Sounds like a good idea for any deal, but especially when family's involved.
Absolutely. Protect yourself, protect your clients.
Okay.
Another takeaway is clear communication. You know, even if Benjamin really did just want to help his sister,
right.
not talking openly about the land's value ended up creating a huge mess.
It's like that saying, good fences make good neighbors.
Yeah.
Good communication and documentation could have saved so much trouble.
Yeah, I agree. And that leads to another big point.
What's that?
Independent legal advice.
Okay.
Even in family deals where everyone seems to be getting along, having separate lawyers can help make sure that each person really understands their rights and what they're agreeing to.
So it's like having someone who's not involved in the family drama.
Yeah.
Come in and say, hey, hold on, let's make sure everyone understands what's happening here.
Exactly. Because sometimes, even with the best intentions, family dynamics and emotions can get in the way of, you know, making smart legal decisions.
So bottom line, clear communication, thorough documentation, and independent legal counsel,
uh-huh.
the holy trinity, to avoid a Jackson v. Seymour situation in your own practice.
Yeah, you got it.
And remember, it's not just about protecting your clients.
Right.
It's about protecting yourself.
Too.
Nobody wants to be on the wrong side of a constructive fraud claim.
Definitely not.
That this case really highlights that law isn't just about following the rules.
Yeah.
It's about understanding what's behind the rules. You know, fairness, equity, preventing people from being exploited.
Right.
These things matter, especially when you're dealing with people you're supposed to be able to trust.
Well said. Jackson v. Seymour is a good reminder that even in family matters,
yeah.
the lines between what's legal and what's ethical can get really blurry.
Mm.
So, you know, as legal professionals, we have a responsibility to help our clients navigate that carefully and ethically.
This actually makes me wonder, what should we be thinking about beyond just the legal stuff when we're dealing with family?
That's a great question. And honestly, it's something that I think gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah.
We need to encourage our clients to think about the long-term effects of their decisions on their relationships and even their reputations.
Because sometimes winning a legal battle means losing something much more important in the process.
Exactly. It's about finding solutions that are legally sound, of course, but also ethical and, you know, sensitive to all the different dynamics of family relationships.
You know, I'm realizing that this case isn't just about law. It's really about people.
Yeah.
And as lawyers, we're not just dealing with contracts and laws. Uh-huh. We're dealing with people's lives, their families, their legacies.
That's a really powerful insight. And I honestly wish more lawyers understood that.
Yeah.
Jackson v. Seymour is a good example of how our work has real-world consequences.
Hmm.
And we have to approach it with, you know, both legal expertise, but also compassion.
I wanted to circle back to this mutual mistake thing that the source material mentioned.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
So remember, neither Lucy nor Benjamin knew about the timber when they made the deal.
Right.
The court acknowledged that. But here's the thing. Benjamin admitted that if he had known about the timber,
yeah.
he wouldn't have offered such a low price.
So even though they were both in the dark at the beginning,
right.
his admission just sealed the deal on how unfair that situation was.
Exactly. It showed that in the end, he benefited from that mistake in a way that Lucy just didn't.
Hmm.
And, you know, that supported the idea of constructive fraud even more.
So even an honest mistake can backfire if it gives one person an advantage.
Yeah.
Especially in a situation where there's supposed to be trust.
Precisely. And that's another lesson for us as lawyers. We have to help our clients think ahead about potential problems, even the ones that seem unintentional,
yeah.
and guide them towards solutions that are fair to everyone involved.
This has been quite a deep dive.
It has.
I feel like we've uncovered so much more than just this legal case.
Yeah.
Jackson v. Seymour. It's a cautionary tale, an ethics lesson.
Yeah.
And a reminder that even in family fairness really matters.
You know what really strikes me is how this case shows that the law isn't just about punishing the bad guys. It's about protecting people.
Right.
Especially when someone's in a weaker position like Lucy was.
It makes you think, how can we all be more aware of those power imbalances, not just in legal situations,
right,
but, you know, just in our everyday lives?
That's a great question. I think we just need to be mindful of who has more knowledge.
Yeah.
Who's in a better financial spot? Who might be more vulnerable in a situation?
It's like checking your blind spots, you know, before you merge onto the highway. You got to look out for everyone, especially the people who might not be able to stand up for themselves.
Exactly. And it's not about being suspicious of everyone.
Right.
It's about being aware. You know, ask questions, get things in writing. Don't be afraid to get advice from someone else if things don't seem right.
So what kind of systems or safeguards can we actually put in place to make sure things are fair and to prevent people from being taken advantage of, even if it's unintentional?
I think education is huge. We need to teach people about their rights, how to recognize those red flags, when to actually get a lawyer involved.
It's about giving people the tools to protect themselves.
Exactly.
Knowledge is power, right?
Absolutely. And it's not just about each person knowing what to do. We have to think about system-wide changes, too.
Right.
Like, how can we make legal help more accessible, especially for people who can't afford a fancy lawyer?
That's a big one. We got to make sure justice isn't just for the wealthy.
Exactly. A system that works for everyone, no matter their background or how much money they have. And cases like Jackson v. Seymour can really get those conversations started and lead to real change.
Well, folks, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Jackson v. Seymour.
It does.
I hope you found this as interesting and enlightening as I have.
Yeah, me too.
It's been a real journey through family fairness and the power of the law to right wrongs.
It has been a pleasure sharing these insights with you, and I hope everyone listening will take these lessons to heart, you know, both professionally and personally.
Remember, even those deals that seem simple can have hidden problems and unintended consequences.
For sure.
Stay informed, stay vigilant, and always try to be fair in everything you do.
Great advice.
Until next time, folks, keep those scales of justice balanced.